Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, Rachel Keane, conservative mama, Charlie Grimes, and Rachel, introduce our next guest.
Yes. Up next, we have Kim Gilmartin. She is the director of new school development for Ascent Charter Schools here in Colorado. She's just a warrior for the whole charter movement.
Awesome.
And welcome. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello, hello. Thanks for joining. So, okay. So with all the craziness that's going on with schools being shut down, we have hybrid learning, we have some people, I talked to a mom the other day, she's got her kid in school one time, like 1 week, the next week, oh no, we're doing hybrid, it's back and forth, it's just a huge hot mess. What's going on with the charter schools, and what's going on with Ascent, and what you're working on, Kim?
Yeah, well, so we have stayed, we have two classical charter schools, Ascent Classical Academy of Douglas County, and that's been open for 3 years, and then one that we just opened this year in Northern Colorado in Fort Collins, that's Ascent Classical Academy of Northern Colorado. And the first school that we opened in Colorado was Golden View Classical Academy. That's in Jefferson County.
Yep.
My three children attend that school. Our founder, Derek Schuller, his two children attend that school. So all of our schools have mirrored each other, and we have been open all year for in-person learning. And
wow.
I try to explain this to parents. All schools have the right and have had the right to stay open.
Wow.
Except last March when everybody, when it was in a shutdown, everybody was closed. But schools are defined as critical businesses, and that was defined under the Public Health Order 2036. So if your school is doing remote or was doing remote or hybrid only, that was a decision that the district school board made if you're in a district school,
right,
or the charter school board made if you're in a charter school. That is a decision that the boards can make, and we decided that it was important to stay open.
For everybody listening, by the way, Kim, you and a lot of other private parochial schools did the same thing, correct?
Yes. Yes, we did. Some charter schools did not stay open, but most did. Most private schools did.
Right.
And it's a little easier because we are more nimble, and
right,
like I said, we have that autonomy.
Yeah.
But one of the things that is foundational to classical education is that our curriculum and culture seek to foster happiness in its students. And we think that the social and moral relationships that are built in person are really necessary for the children's learning and for their health and happiness.
Yes.
Okay, so one thing real quick I want to add to what you guys all just said too, which I think is very important and we need to keep mentioning, Kim, is even with you guys being open, other parochial schools, private schools, and charter schools being open, where's all of these, up cases of COVID coming out of you guys?
Yeah, having some major
outbreaks. You guys meeting for school on a regular basis. Where's all the COVID cases we should be reporting on?
Yeah.
Well, we haven't had many.
Thank you.
If we do have one, we have followed the quarantine rules. But the parents have been very responsible. We're in contact with the health departments. We're in contact with our parents. We're asking them to be responsible. We're asking them to keep their kids home if they see anything. And so we follow all of those rules, but it can be done. If you want it badly enough, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can keep your schools open.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's parents listening right now, and their jaws just dropped open. there have been some schools in Colorado that have remained open and had
more
a normal
than
school
you know
year. They're like, what?
Yeah, more than you know.
This is crazy.
Which, by the way, real quick, guys, Kim and Rachel both, we're hearing out of the Biden administration right now that we need all this money, we need new ventilation, we need this, we need that, if there's any way we're going to get schools back opened and have teachers feel safe. Yet you're telling me your teachers are safe and your kids have done well and your parents are cooperative and know how to do it. So I'm confused. Why do we need, billions and billions of dollars to get schools reopened?
Well, I have I have my opinion on that. I think it's political. Mm-hmm. I think it's driven by the teachers' unions. Mm-hmm. And I agree, by the way. You guys said this before. Teachers, this is not about teachers. The teachers are great. Most teachers are excellent. Right. They're trapped in this system. And so that's a problem. You know, the teachers' unions are a real problem. And one of the wonderful things about charter schools is that we don't have to deal with that.
Right.
And the teachers figure out how to make it work. And our administration listens to the teachers. We do, you know, we've used some of the CARES money to put the things that we need to put in place, cleaning-wise and all of
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked out very well.
Yeah. So with Ascent, like, being open throughout this whole time, have you seen more people come to the school or parents find out and they're like, wait a minute, what? You're open?
Or can you even?
Yeah.
Well, in the beginning of the school year, we had a lot more parents coming in.
Yeah.
Typically, we won't accept new students after a certain amount of time because they're just going to be too far behind.
Yeah, they won't
okay.
catch up.
But we
yep.
have had... Right, because we have a strong curriculum, and our curriculum it takes a little while to get students. So we make sure that the kids are going to be able to catch up. But we have had a ton of interest, and so much so that we're opening 3 new sections next year.
Wow.
And we have, because normally we would have a lot of wait lists, but long wait lists
yes.
like we do at Golden View. But we have some openings now, and I'm just trying to let people know that now's the time. And we have, of course, openings in our Northern Colorado school because we're building a new campus next year. So we definitely have had more
awesome.
People who are aware of us, but not just from the fact that we're open. You know, we don't want families to come to the school just because we're open. We want them to understand what kind of education and curriculum and culture we provide. And so a lot of these parents who came to see the school because we were open, their eyes, they just have been amazed that this is a public tuition-free
wow.
school
yeah.
that exists that can give their kids this kind right. of education that they want.
And when you say classical, like just really quickly, for those listening, what does that mean, Kim?
Well, classical education is not new. It's really old. It goes back to the genesis of Western civilization and the Greeks. And actually, classical education was the cornerstone of the founding of America.
Right.
But what does it look like to a parent? Well, if you walk in, you're going to see children sitting at individual desks, facing forward, focusing on the teacher. We believe in direct instruction, so this is teacher-led learning, not student-led learning. Mm-hmm. You're going to see your children writing with pen and paper, no electronics, no iPads, no iPhones. They're going to be learning cursive. They're going to be reading classic literature, the great books.
Wow.
They're going to be learning Singapore math. They're going to be studying our country's founding documents. They're going to be learning beautiful music, how to read music, how to appreciate art, you know, and when they get into the high school, they're going to be reading more great books like To Kill a Mockingbird, 1984, Moby
nice.
Dick, and they're going to be having discussions in their classroom.
Oh, you're teaching them how to critically think, you mean, Kim?
That's right.
Good.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
They're going to learn how to think clearly and make the argument, right? That's
right.
something that kids don't know how to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, we've lost
today.
We talked about that in the last hour. We've
yeah.
lost that art. Okay, so how do folks find
Ascent?
Yeah, how do they find you guys? And if they want a tour or they want to register or whatever, how do they do all of that?
Well, the best way to do it is go to ascentclassical.org, and then you can pick the school that you're interested in. There's the two. And go to that website, and if you go to apply, that's the first thing they should do is just apply.
Okay.
Because they can, if there's an offer, they'll get one, or they'll get put on a wait list. Or they can sign up for a tour. We have ways to sign up for a tour there on the website. And then they can go in and they can actually look at the classrooms. They can meet with the school leader. Mr. McAfee is our Douglas County school leader. And he does a little Q&A after the tours, and they can ask him anything.
Awesome. Well, I've known many students that have gone to your schools, Kim, plural, I should say that. And we've even had an intern here whose family was a big part of what you guys have going on. So very familiar with what you guys have. Everybody listening, I will vouch for them. This is a fabulous school. They're doing a great job. And Kim, I can't say anything bad about what you guys have going on. If anybody's interested at all, they should go check you guys out. I mean that sincerely.
Perfect. All right, Kim,
thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Kim, I do appreciate it. And yes, folks, I said that a moment ago. That is my own personal testimonial. I have known several families and kids that have gone to school there. Mm-hmm. In fact, those of you listening to me that remember Alex, that used to be my intern back in the day, his siblings went to school there.
Wow.
And I can just tell you right now that It's top notch. They do a great job. Your kids will not only learn, but come out and excel and do great in life. Mm-hmm. And I know there's no guarantees on kids and how they turn out, but this is one step in the right direction by sending your kids there. I can tell you that right now.
So. And what I thought was really interesting is it's no electronics and stuff like that. And like doctors are now coming out, just pediatricians saying the screen time the kids are experiencing right now is just horrific. Like it's way over the top. So if you can limit it just by, hey, when you're in school, we're not going to be looking at screens.
That's right. All right. We're going to talk to Scott Garlis next from Stansberry Research, get an update on what's going on with inflation. We'll talk to him in a minute. Geno's Auto Services next, folks. And as I say all the time, make sure your vehicle's in top working order. Spring break is just around the corner. And of course, we got weather in town right now, but make sure your vehicle is where it needs to be. And what I mean by that is if you spend money on it, you're going to save money in the end because preventative maintenance does pay off. Geno's Auto Service, that's Geno's with a J, 303-794-6700.
For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Geno's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide Peace of Mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at GenosAutoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Purefoy Chevrolet, folks, whereas you start looking down the road and looking at where you're at, either with a family or a business, and you're thinking about different decisions when it comes to your vehicle, you know what? Purefoy Chevrolet can help you, whether it's a great new used vehicle purchase or it's a brand new Chevrolet product. They can do it all. You can shop online at purefoychevrolet.com. And trust me, these are the greatest guys you'll meet. They'll just treat you. It's like going back in time. I say that and I mean it. It really is. 303-659-8311. Or again, it's purefoychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purefoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purefoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purefoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purefoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Looking to the west, you can't see the mountains, but it's a little flurries out there, a little rainy, a little cold, got a little weather coming in. That's okay.
We'll take it.
Yeah, definitely.
If it prevents fires in the summer, I'll take it.
You know, we've not had a super wet winter,
we
have to take it at some point in time. So, yes,
We need
to not whine and take it. We have great weather in Colorado for the most part, so we'll just suck it up and take it, and it'll be nice here in a few days. I mean, look where we're at. I mean, you can't hardly even see any snow left after we had a foot a week or so ago.
I know. See, that's what's so awesome. I always feel like, hey, if we can get to March, just get to March. Because January and February for me are like just gray. And
I agree.
But once you get to March, it starts the mornings start
curtain
lasting.
Pulls back.
Yeah, the mornings
I
last
agree.
Longer. And then you do get the snow, but then you get a nice day in between. So
I'm like you. Yeah. I look forward to my biggest thing I look forward to, which is coming not this weekend, but next, is daylight saving time.
Let's do this.
I like that a lot. Yes. So Scott Garlis joining us now, Stansberry Research. Scott, how are you, sir?
John, I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Let's talk about, though, in inflation. I mean, it's being talked a lot about, and I think actually there is some inflation right now, no matter what the feds may actually say. I think you can see it in some of the things we buy on a daily basis, but give us your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look at something like oil prices. Oil prices have seen a massive move since the beginning of the year.
Right.
I think we're up, you know, over 20% on oil right now. So that, you know, that's bigger than a tax hike when you start adding that up at the gas pump. Fortunately, not a lot of people are going to the gas station at the moment, but that's on the rise.
Right.
So, you know, in terms of the stock market, that's been a really interesting debate lately with inflation and with the economy opening back up. We're seeing vaccinations are really accelerating. We're over 80 million people vaccinated now. So that means the economy is primed to start taking off again.
Well, and we're seeing, to your point, we're seeing states like, you know, Texas, Mississippi, Florida, of course, has been fairly open for the most part. But I think you're going to see more and more states follow through, especially if you don't see any spikes coming out of Texas and Mississippi, which, frankly, I predict you're not going to. If that's the case, then you're going to see more and more things start to open up, to your point, Scott.
Yeah.
And that is, that's what's really going to get the economy going again. And, you know, all along we've talked about there's this pent-up demand.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, you know, you're going to – so this bill's more than likely going to be passed by the end of next week.
Okay.
Stimulus aid bill. And so, you know, we're back to you throw all this money, all this extra money on this economy that's primed to go. Inevitably, we're going to wind up with more inflation. It's got to happen. But I think it's going to be short-term in nature. It's not going to be something that lasts longer-term. And I say it's going to be short-term because I think we're going to be lapping easy comps versus a depressed economy we had last year. And, you know, as you come back around in a year's time, you're going to see it calm back down more.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think as far as percentages go? Are we looking at, you know, 3, 5, 7%? What do you think we're looking at as far as inflation numbers for 2021?
No, I don't think we're going to hit, if we hit 2%, we might pick up a bit above it, but I think on a sustained basis, I think it's going to be hard to keep it up above 2% right now.
Okay.
I think what you're going to see on the other side of this takeoff, liftoff in the economy is you're going to see things sort of normalize more back down toward that 2.5%-ish growth level. And, you know, when we go back there, that'll take inflation back down a bit with it. Now, Jerome,
see, I have the opposite opinion. Scott and I love him, and we go back and forth on some things, but this is one where, Scott, I think what's going to happen is, I think everything you just said is exactly right, although I think on the business side, it's the supply and demand thing. As people start coming in and there's this pent-up demand and people start spending money and there's not enough supply to keep up with that demand, it will push prices up in a lot of areas. And to me, that's where that inflation is going to come from, is the simple fact that as the economy explodes, there won't be enough products, plural, to meet that demand, therefore pushing prices up.
Well, you're just seeing that with real estate right now in Colorado.
Real estate's
supply right now.
It's true.
It's nuts, and the things are going for $100,000 to $150,000
over asking price.
It's
that's
just
right.
Stupid. It's just
And Rachel, by the way, I'm sorry I didn't say hello earlier.
Fine. Hey, it's all good.
Now, anyways, I don't know if that's a debate, Scott. It's just my opinion. I mean, we'll all know as we get a little further down the road, but that's just my thought.
Yeah,
it is. They are both excellent points, and they're fair points, and they're very valid points. So here is where I would push back on the goods demand side of the equation. You're right. We're seeing that right now. And, you know, again, we've talked about this before, but look at semiconductors. They're having a shortage of semiconductors. Mm-hmm. And I know you said, like, there's a Ford has all these trucks parked in warehouses out
That's
in Colorado
right.
because they can't get the semiconductors to finish them, right?
That's right. Yeah, in fact, I've learned even since we talked last that they're not the only car company in that boat. There's now several that are in that boat that just can't deliver enough product because of that.
So part of what's driving that, and this is one of the interesting effects of COVID, is so COVID has really slammed travel, right? And
right.
People can't
right.
go anywhere. And they can't go out and necessarily dine out with their
right.
their wife or their family or their husband or their family. So part what that's done is it's put more money in people's pockets to spend on things they might not normally buy.
Right.
Right, like phones, computers, mm-hmm. all these other things. And so that has caused demand to pick up for a lot of goods. Now, I think what's going to happen is you're going to start to see as more people become vaccinated, and, you know, maybe some of these countries are talking about doing, you got to have a vaccine passport to get in. But
right.
if you have one, you can. People will start traveling and getting out again. And what you're going to see is some of that discretionary income that has gone to buy things like computers, cell phones, that's going to pull back because that money is going to be spent on dining out. Making a meal at home isn't as expensive as it is
okay.
going to a restaurant. And so what I think that'll show up as, demand for goods is going to level off. I mean, all these people that have been at home, you know, like fixing up their houses because they've been spending more time there
sure.
and they're
sure.
looking at cracks. That's not going to happen as much as those people start going back into offices and things like that. So I think
I hope you're
that's
right.
That's where
yeah.
Yeah, and that might take some inflationary pressures off of things.
And again, and I hope you're right. And
but
I think
with the vaccine, I mean, I'm wondering.
Well, and here's where I'm going to come back and say the yes, but I think
yeah,
I think you're correct. Unless we have states like Colorado, which is in this stupid pack with California, Oregon, and Washington, and if we decide to, you know, us four states decide to open up very last, and it's, you know, July or August until we actually get fully open, then. Honestly, Scott, everything you just said kind of gets shot out of the water because we still don't have enough people out spending money.
Yeah, yep. But again, this will be, you will see this near term. There will be an inflation spike near term. But I would assume, unless we get some sort of crazy situation that happens, that the vaccine is completely worthless, which I don't think is going to happen, and everybody has to go back to what we've experienced over the last year. Those states will catch up to where everybody else is going with their reopenings, right?
Agree.
And
it'll take time, but I agree, yes. And by the way, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope that even our state, you know, we're open
yeah.
much sooner than that, and that
open
you're
up.
Correct
yeah.
and I'm wrong. I just don't have a lot of faith in my own governor that's
yeah.
going to happen. I think Colorado could very well be one of the last states to reopen.
That's fair enough. Sorry to hear that. Maryland's moving in that direction again, but you know it's interesting to see the way some of the county executives are fighting the governor of the state. It just
yeah.
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But so I wonder, the way I look at it is inflation will spike for a little bit, but it'll come back down. Now
okay.
today, what happened? Like the technology sector in particular, the NASDAQ composite got routed because Jerome Powell was saying the Fed doesn't have any interest in adjusting policy. Everything's appropriate right now because, again, he's trying to look at the long term, but that scares the stock market
mm-hmm.
right.
because they're worried about all the things you guys are talking about. They're
right.
worried about a rapid reacceleration and inflation picking back up. Again, I think it will, but I think it'll meter itself out. But if you're interested in trying to invest for things like this, there's something we talked about a couple of weeks ago, oil. I think
mm-hmm.
oil, as the economy continues to reopen, there's still a lot of gains ahead. And, you know, construction materials like cement,
I agree.
I still think there are a lot of gains. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that.
What if we see some stuff start to rumble over in the Middle East, like I think we could see? Then it's going to get really interesting, I think.
Well, and I
yeah.
want to remind everybody as well, and I think this is important because as much as I don't, I'm a guy that buys a lot of gas with my fleet on a monthly basis, Scott, so I like cheap gas prices, although I also know that as a country and as oil producers go and R&D and doing the things that we need to do as a country, we need $55, $60 a barrel oil to really make all of that work. So while none of us like paying
yep.
that at the pump, that right now is a good thing for our oil companies, especially in the United States of America.
Yeah, totally. And they're going to spend more on the economy.
Right.
And they're going to drive demand for things. And that helps.
That's right.
You know, but the other thing, Rachel, to what you were talking about, I'm assuming you're talking about sort of some of the stuff going on with
yeah,
Iran.
We're starting
right.
to see a little, yeah, some stuff pick up over there. So I'm starting to get a little, I'm,
so
let's not get involved here. That's just I'm more of that side yeah. of the aisle. So I wonder what that's going to do.
I am too, but I don't, and Scott, you can, you know, tell me if I'm right or wrong, but Iran doesn't produce enough oil to really have any factors in all this, in my opinion. A Permian Basin, we produce as much as Iran does, and Saudi Arabia has more than enough capability to pick up whatever Iran loses and would gladly do it because the royal family, the gazillion member royal
yeah.
family that loves driving Lamborghinis needs that oil revenue, and they'll produce as much oil as they can to support the family. So that, to me, I'm not too concerned about.
You're correct, but the market, the way it was, what it was expecting to have happen was a Biden administration that came in and had a much more friendly relationship with the Iran regime, and we were going to go back to the nuclear accord table and sign back onto an agreement. And the opposite seems to be happening right now. That the potential for that relationship to change, it's quickly going away.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that.
Especially with
especially
these Iranian-backed regimes. So the way the market is going to look at that is, you know, Iran sitting on one of the largest, you know, untapped oil supplies in the world, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to look at that is supply not coming to the market. And as we see the economy pick back up, you know, the world has to turn somewhere for oil that it can't tap into. And, you know, there's a good chance, like you said, the U.S. keeps producing more and more. They're going to start buying more oil from the U.S. And as we see, I believe it's are they VLCCs? They're the very large container tankers that come into the port.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, as we start to see more of them fill up and head over to, say, Europe, that is going to create, you know, more demand for our supply, which means we're going to be competing with others we haven't before.
It's true.
And that'll drive prices.
You're right.
Yeah. So I think. You know, I think there's still an opportunity with things like oil where, you know, if you're looking for places, say you've made a bunch of money in technology stocks right now, and you're thinking, hey, the economy's opening, maybe demand falls off a bit, maybe I'm looking to rotate somewhere else.
Okay.
I think you look at old economy type names like oil, the construction materials, you know, restaurants.
I agree with that.
Yeah, because, I think all of those things, you know, trucking stocks, because as demand picks up for all that stuff and goods need to be shipped more and more all around the country, they're going to benefit.
I agree. No, well said. Scott, how do folks find you?
Yeah, please come to StansberryInvestor.com and, you know, you can sign up for all of our free letters, check out our paid content, and we're here to help the little guy.
Good stuff. Scott, as always, I appreciate it, sir.
You guys, thanks for your time.
You betcha, man. I really appreciate it. I love Scott, by the way. I like the fact we can go back and forth on some things and debate like we talked earlier.
That's how you figure some of this out.
So, Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks. Don't forget Cooper Tires at Cost. They'd love to help you out with whatever the need is on your car, and they got plenty of service space to take care of you same day. KLZradio.com or 303-841-1071. All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, and we should be having David Morgan joining us here in just a few minutes. He's chief editor of The Morgan Report and co-author of Second Chance, How to Make and Keep Big Money from the Coming Gold and Silver Shockwave. So we're going to learn a little bit about just the value of the U.S. dollar and a lot of what we just talked about, even with Scott and inflation and things along those lines. We'll get David's opinion on, you know, what he thinks when it comes to inflation and, you know, where is our energy prices headed and so on and so forth. And again, I want to make sure I'm a quick reminder to everybody that while I don't like paying high fuel prices either, in our country, a $55
to
$60 a barrel oil does help us as a country, even though people don't like spending
the money
on
gas,
fuel. But it does help feed an entire economy in this country.
Okay.
The oil economy.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, no, people don't really think about that. Folks, we do not want what we had in the not too distant past, a negative barrel of oil cost.
Okay.
I mean, we don't want to pay people to take our oil. That's not what we want as an economy in this country. We want the oil prices in this country really to be at $55, $60 a barrel because we get exploration. The oil field workers make good money. They spend that money back into the economy.
So what does that look like at the pump?
$3 a gallon or so. I mean, we're there now. I mean, we're at $60 a barrel right now.
Okay.
We're 62 or something today, I want to say.
You want to stay there.
And I think that's where we, I feel that way. David Morgan joining us now. David, I introduced you a moment ago. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I appreciate it. So talk to us, first of all, inflation, the value of the dollar, and of course, you're the author of the book, Second Chance, How to Make and Keep Big Money from the Coming Gold and Silver Shockwave.
Exactly. Well, inflation is pervasive, you know, the idea that a little bit is good and a lot's bad and that type of thing. It's pervasive and it eats away at people's savings, and it's really hard to determine how much is safe for your future, how much the college is going to cost 20 years out when you have kids, and all that type of thing. So really, my mandate that I've given myself is to teach and empower people to understand the benefits of an honest financial system, and that basically boils down to honest money, and we haven't had that since Nixon closed the gold window.
Right.
August 15th, 1971.
So what do folks do? I mean, given the fact that we don't have an honest money system, and we don't. We have a fiat system. It's not an honest system. It's very manipulated and controlled. We're seeing that right now when it comes to COVID and stimulus bills and what the Fed's doing and so on. I mean, the reality is it's about as fake as it gets. How do people handle that?
Yeah. You don't go overboard. You don't know. I know, you know, monetary history, David, makes a lot of sense, and go all in. You take a hedge position, and that's around 10% for most people. So if everything went to zero overnight, your hedge position in silver and gold would probably go up tenfold, which would mean you're at a break-even point.
Okay.
And everything that's out there, stocks, bonds, real estate, you know, businesses or whatever, most of them don't go to absolute zero. Now, I'm cognizant of the fact that many restaurants have gone to zero. But
yeah, that's a different deal, though. Yeah. I agree with you. So, yes.
So that's the idea. You've got to prepare for what is pretty much inevitable, but you don't have to go overboard. It's like seasoning a soup or something. The right amount of seasoning really is great, but you put too much in it,
right,
it's like you ruined it.
So that's on both ends of it. Whether we go salty or sweet or spicy or whatever, you're correct. You could go one direction the wrong way and too much of, and you've killed it.
Yeah, I mean, just to digress a bit, and you bring me back whenever you want, but I had a guy from Australia call me, and he listened to a lot of people in my field, and he basically went all in on silver. And then he heard one of my podcasts. He goes, man, I wish I would have heard you before. And I go, well, why? He said, because I just did everything with it. You know, and if I would have done the 10% you recommended, you know, I wouldn't be having this agony I'm having now, because I put so much in it, and now it's down, you know, 25%, and I don't know what to do, blah, blah, blah. So back to you.
No, I mean, everything you're saying makes total sense. What do you see, and this is I know it's a big debate right now because there's nobody that's got a crystal ball and can predict the future, but what do you think for 2021 our ending inflation figure is going to look like? I have my own idea. What do you think?
Well, you know, I like to use data. I'm an ex-engineer, I'll say. My first degree is aero engineering, and my second degree is in business, but I look at shadowstats.com for my friend John Williams, and he does the metrics from the 1980 CPI model. And there's no fudging of figures. It's just a fact. You have food and energy in the equation. What a concept. Two things humans need
right.
the most.
Right.
They need to eat, and they need to, you know, transport themselves. Energy moves everything.
Right.
So using those metrics, we're at about 8 to 9% inflation right now. To go by the government inflation thing, you know, we're trying to get it to 2%. Well, you can use that number if you wish, but it's really a fallacy. So where do I think inflation is going to be by the end of this year? I think official inflation will be above 2%, and I think official inflation will be well above that.
Oh, we lost David. We'll try to get him back. And by the way, I think a lot of what he's saying is true. And yes, those numbers can also be manipulated, like he just said. If you take food and energy out of the inflation figures, which in a lot of cases that's what happens, then you get back down to that 2 or 3%. If you actually factor those things in, we've already seen what we're experiencing at the pump right now.
Yep.
I think his 8 to 9% is very realistic. Now, where will we be officially by the end of the year? I'm a guy that's going to predict somewhere around 3-3.5% officially. That's not necessarily the real number. David, welcome back. I'm sorry we dropped you there, sir. Who knows what happened? You never know. It's technology. What can I say?
Exactly. So I was saying that I've really been on the food thing for quite some time. And food is a long story, but the short of it is that it's going to cost more and more and more. And most Americans and people worldwide are going to say that's inflation. And so
I agree, by the way. It is real inflation. It is. And we all know, and I've got farmer friends and so on, David, that, you know, grain prices, corn prices are up about 30%. Well, you can't take a 30% hit on grain prices and not have it affect everything else.
Exactly. And that's kind of my main thrust is, you know, I'm a big gold and silver fan, obviously, and I think that's the best place. But I also think that the whole commodity sector, especially the ags, are really important. It's hard to hedge in that. I used to trade futures. I do very little of it now, but it's not a good place for the average person to be in as far as a hedge. But there are ways to hedge. But I think the metals still pretty much are the best, the easiest to understand. And, you know, again, if you don't go overboard, it's a good thing to have as this thing unwinds. I mean, the idea being that the World Economic Forum wants a reset. The reset that they want is a monetary reset. Yeah, there's all this other stuff, and they wave their arms, and they want a better world, and blah, blah, blah. But the fact is, they want a monetary reset. They want to reset the world currency system and kill the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency and move it into their hands where they can tax, trace, and track everything you do.
Yeah. Yeah. David, do you actually see that happening?
Yeah, that was my
question. We hear a lot of talk.
Yeah, great question.
But do you actually see a reset happening in the near future?
I don't.
Okay.
I know what they want. I've been writing about it in my private work for some time, but just because they want it doesn't mean it's going to take place. It's to be determined, and I think there's enough pushback.
Agreed.
The other thing that no one's ever talked about, in my view, is how hard it is to move everybody from the digital system we have now into their new one.
Right.
I mean, I had to move my servers from my little business. It's not a very big business.
Right.
I love it. It's my passion. But when I changed servers, we had all kinds of links that broke and people that got left off the subscriber base and everything else. Can you imagine trying to do that with the world banking system?
Well, and I also think I want to throw something else into this, David, and get your opinion as well. I also think this is a generational issue. And what I mean by that is, as you know, folks like myself, I don't know what your age is, I'm 56, but as I age and I get older and I no longer have some of the influence that we're now talking about, yeah, I could see some things starting to change. But while guys like myself and you are really in a way in our prime, I don't see some of that changing. Now, as we get into new generations and new thinking and so on, you know, kids today not carrying cash. I still carry cash. I'm one of the few that probably still does. But the reality is, as we change generationally, then, yeah, I could see some of that maybe being more of a possibility. But I'm with you. I don't see it happening right now.
That's good.
Yeah, I agree. I just add on something kind of humorous. I just got done with an account I have downtown, and the guy doesn't take cards, and I paid him in cash. And that's so rare these days.
Right.
It was like, David, I don't do cards. It was a precious metals dealer. I'll just throw that out there.
Sure.
But it worked.
Yeah, no, and again, I could be completely wrong. I don't have a crystal ball, but and I know things can change rather quickly, David, but I also know that when you've got generational pushback, and it's not just in the U.S., but even in other countries, I do believe that's going to slow down what some of these guys ultimately want. And I know what they want. I mean, they really want a one-world standard currency, whether that's a Bitcoin-type currency or whatever it happens to be. You know that's the direction they want, but I don't think they're going to get it anytime soon.
Let's hope not. I hope not.
Yeah, one of the hardest things to do in any market is to find the top, because at the top, everyone thinks that's it. You know, they just it's a given. It's going to happen.
Right.
And the top is the top, which means that it's coming down from there. And I think that's pretty much where we are with these, let's say, oligarchs that are the banking elites that think they know everything and have the power to control everything we do. I think they're at the top.
I agree.
It's coming down.
I agree with you on that. David, well said. I appreciate you. Love to have you back. Good stuff. I really enjoy it, sir. And if you want to, I know we've had a bad connection with David, but you can buy his book, by the way, Second Chance, How to Make and Keep Big Money from the Coming Gold and Silver Shockwave. It's on Amazon. You can also find his website, The Morgan Report. .com. It's simple. TheMorganReport.com. We'll be right back. Flesh and Beck is coming up next. If you need any help legally speaking, accidents, slip and fall, you just got a question on whatever business-wise, Kevin is your guy. 303-806-8886 or FleshLawFirm.com.
Right now, anyone without health insurance may participate in a special enrollment period. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts for help finding the right coverage at the best price. 303-423-0162.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Covered a lot of ground today, by the way, folks. And most of all, be safe. The roads will get a little bit slippery. What do we got for temperature right now, folks? We are looking at 36 degrees.
Ooh,
so
a little colder, yeah.
Y'all know it freezes at 32.
Yeah. Compared to yesterday.
Yeah,
oh, my gosh, it was so
big
beautiful
difference.
Yesterday.
Jeez. Yeah, we're going to have a little snow tonight and maybe even in the morning, so it'll be a little slick for sure in the morning. But, you know, be careful driving around is my biggest point. All right, I got something I want to talk about. I was going to do it yesterday. Didn't get a chance to, with Rachel here, I wanted to. So there's a Boston school district, or Boston Public Schools, I should say, they suspend advanced class enrollment test, saying too many students that were passing them are white or Asian. So we're just going to get rid of these advanced AP classes.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Wow. Wow. I don't even, you know, at this point, I'm not surprised by anything. I really am not. I really, there's nothing at this point. Coca-Cola is telling their employees not, you know, be less white. We're getting rid of Mr. Potato Head. What else have we gotten rid of this last week? It's
Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, Dr. Seuss.
Well, some of Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, it's totally racist or whatever. So at this point, the fact that we're we're suspending, you know, enrollment tests.
And we've got others out there even saying that the way we teach math is racist, that math in and of itself is racist. We need to change that.
Everything is math. Everything revolves around math.
Thank you.
So
yes, it does. How is math racist, though? 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah,
how is that racist? It's not.
Did they have a reason on how? Or?
You know what? I didn't. It was one of those things where looked at the headline, I'm just like, do I really even
need to read all of this mumbo jumbo?
Because I just want to have a good night's sleep.
I just don't think I need to enter into that realm
at this point.
Right, no.
It's nonsense in my brain I just don't need. Because there's nothing that would say anything about math as racist. And by the way, everybody listening, I am a big one on this. I know English is important.
Yeah.
I know spelling is important. I get it. Those are two very important subjects. I know history is important.
Yes,
I know all of that. Okay,
yeah.
I get it. But I, in my opinion, the number one most important subject that your kid could learn is math.
Math. And a lot of logic stems from math, too.
If you don't have math, you can't balance your checkbook. You can't count change. You have no idea what a mortgage is. You have no idea what interest is. You know, I have no idea what you're paying for any of those things. You just financially speaking, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, because I am one of these.
Yeah.
I know math really well, but I can't spell for crap. Can I still make it in this world? I absolutely can.
Okay.
And that Charlie knows that. I mean, I'm the worst grammar spelling guy you'll ever meet. I was one of the worst English subject guys there probably ever was. But have I made it in this world knowing math? Yes, I have.
Yeah, you got to know 2 + 2.
You got to know math. Right? Math will do more for you. So if any of you are listening and have kids, please. Please, even though they may not like it, and I know it's a right brain, left brain thing, I get that, but if there's anything you could pass on to your kids, it's the ability to know math. And I'm not talking, you know, fine algebraic terms and all that and, you know, huge math problems. No, I mean very basic, how do you divide, how do you multiply, how do you figure percentages?
Right. And a lot of, I mean, math, that's the technology world. I mean, a lot of this stuff goes into coding and...
It's all math.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Ones and zeros.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it's the whole, I mean, that's our whole, where we're heading. So
right.
You got to know that
no
stuff.
No math, folks.
Right.
And teach your kids to know math, and know math isn't racist.
I got to find out why they said
no
that.
No way, shape, or form.
I got to look into this.
All right, Ascend Health Center's up next, folks. If you're not feeling well, or you just want to feel better, you're not sleeping well, you want to sleep better, you're not eating well, you want to eat better, you're not able to lose weight, you've got some hormone imbalances, whatever it happens to be, Dr. Julie can help you with that. Give her a call today, 303-343-8800, or find her at ascendhealthcenter.com.
Dr. Julie provides both the scientific methodology and the empathetic accountability you need to lose weight. You've lost the weight in the past, but as soon as you started slipping back into your old habits, you felt like a failure. Now you've gained all of that weight back, plus some more, and starting over seems pointless. Both John Rush and Dr. Julie understand the daily struggle of staying healthy. The HCG diet at Ascend Health Center trains your body to convert unnecessary fat into energy, but you also need the mental and emotional fortitude to help you stick with it long term. Something as simple as a daily text message from a qualified weight loss guide could make all the difference between another yo-yo diet and a true lifestyle change. Remember how much better you felt without the extra weight. Call Ascend Health Center now and mention Rush to Reason for 30% off your HCG diet plan. 303-343-8800.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right. One thing that I have not verified, but I've gotten several people have emailed me these things, and I should have read it before today. I apologize for not. But supposedly, Japan is requiring that anybody from China that comes into Japan, they have to get an anal swab COVID test before they can enter. I don't know if that's actually true or not. Charlie's like, I don't know if it is or not. Charlie said it was in selected cases, and they apologized.
Oh, this, yeah, in Forbes magazine, it says Japan asked China for anal swab.
See, there you
COVID-19 test. What? What is going on?
I'm just telling you what got sent to me. It was a headline.
Oh, my gosh.
Several people send that to me. Well, I did not check up on it.
But I heard that China was requiring that to enter their country. Is that true?
I don't know if that's true or not. I have no idea. I do know this. We'll talk about this more as we head down the road. I could see some electronic passport thingamajiggies coming down the road, where if you travel to foreign countries, you're going to be required to prove you have something.
Yeah.
I don't... I, We'll talk more.
Yeah,
there's
we'll talk
always
more.
Another show.
Oh,
so,
of course.
Rachel, as always,
so
thank you. How do folks find you?
Just Conservative Mama, M-O-M-M-A. I'm Instagram, Facebook, Parler.
Everywhere.
MeWe.
All right.
Rumble.
Okay, it's all there. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. We've got a great show in store for you. We're going to talk about great old characters. So, you know, basically, you know, characters that we can respect in movies that are older. So we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.